It is Locked On Jazz for the 21st of August, a live new Facebook group edition. Dante Exum or Grayson Allen? That was Ron Boone's question. What's your answer to that on who gets those minutes? Plus, we'll take your questions. We'll interact. We'll have a blast. It's a midday edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow! How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA Insider. It's our first time ever going live in our new Facebook group, Locked On Jazz. Special welcome to Paul Tripp, Jason Daly, Chase Wright, Steve Rogers, Nate Lee, Landon Horton, Brad Thorsted, Diane Smirley, and Eric Peterson, our newest members of the Locked On Jazz group. I've got some great advice today on how to improve this group, add some moderators, do some things, probably make it private so it's not in your timeline all the time. Some great suggestions. A huge thanks to Jesse Dunn for that. You guys are all awesome. I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA Insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, geeky little numbers, and all that. You can get this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and you can tell your smart speaker to play podcast Locked On Jazz. How's that? How are you? Interview series continues with Ron Boone coming up this week. That was your request. Then we'll probably do another one. Probably have one or two more. I've made a request of whether or not we might be able to do some with the staff members. That seems to always be a request of the Jazz fans, is to do some with staff members. I think people would be interested in Mike Elliott, our head of sports science, maybe one of our, you know, some of our assistants, things like that. So we'll see whether or not that can come together. Ron Boone's great in the interview. We did it today. We'll post it as the backside of the next two shows for you. He had a really interesting piece. That's where I wanted to start the day. And that is, I had another question for you. I'll get to that question in a second. Grayson Allen or Dante Exum, who gets the third guard minutes? And it's interesting. I didn't get into this with Ron. I see this as all one big mosh pit. So I see Rubio, Mitchell, Ingles, O'Neal, Allen, Exum. That's six, right? I see Tabo and Jay as fours. I think Tabo coming off the knee injury at 33, chasing around small forwards might be tough. I see Jay as a four. I know he played some three last year, but I see him as a four. And then there's also Alec Burks, who, if people are switching all the time, could end up having an impact on things. Ron brings up, and I'm stealing his point, that Allen is already probably a better passer than Dante is. That he, with 4 years of playing with the ball in his hand. The thing that's crazy about Grayson Allen and Dante Exum is probably how much more basketball Grayson Allen has played than Dante Exum. Right? When you go back and look at that, Dante played Australian high school, took a year off, came to the NBA, played 82 games, big edge Dante, missed an entire year for an ACL, big edge Grayson, then plays a little bit off the ace at the back end of that ACL, and then ends up with a shortened season to the shoulder. Grayson Allen hasn't played NBA talent, but he's probably played more basketball. Now, Jeremy Pitt brings up Alec. I think Alec becomes your one-on-one scorer in situations where teams are isolating. Now, the trick on that is whether or not, and this gets a little tricky, is whether or not that's actually something that Alec Burks is good at. And what I mean by that is Alec has all these great skills to do, you know, all this isolation and all these kind of things, but is he really good at it is a huge question mark. He has gotten better at it in the last few years. And I think that that's important, but it's so hard to judge anything that Alec has done because of the fact that he's been dealing with the injuries so much that if you go back 2 years, it seems unfair. But if we just look at last year, which I'm not sure is always the best, isolation players on the Jazz, Alec Burks was 0.84, which puts him in dead 50th percentile in the NBA. Now, that's better than Dante or Jay or Tabo, I think. So, you know, there's probably a value to it. Joe Ingles and Ricky Rubio and Donovan Mitchell are probably a little bit better, but we don't have a lot of very good isolation players or high-level isolation players. So that might be a very, very valuable role for Alec Burks to play on this team. So I think that that's I think there's a chance that you move Alec in there. So Ron brings up on the podcast who plays the third guard. I actually just see it as this mosh pit of guards. Like, I think Rubio gets 30 minutes, and I think Ingles gets 30 minutes, and I think Donovan probably gets 35. And so now what you have is you have 48 minutes times three. Because I think Dante can play some three if you need to, if Allen's playing some two. And so if you take Rubio, Ingles, and Mitchell and assume that the three of them are going to be around 94 minutes or so, then you've got 50 minutes to divide amongst that four. Probably can't play all four of them on the same night, but you're going to be able to do something in that group. So that's the thought I have in that regard. Question. I had a few requests. It feels weird. So I did that person-to-person with Shauna Lake this week. It was really quite uncomfortable. I usually get to control the conversation. This time I did not. And some people have asked if I could throw it on the back of the podcast for those people who didn't watch the video. So, sure. Like, that would... I don't know. It feels weird to put an interview of me on the podcast. So let me know if that's actually of interest and I'll do it. Jordan Kahn says, my spider shirt is tight on me too. I know it's so, and I just finished working out. So it's so thin and it's weirdly cut. It's so cool because it's a spider shirt, but it's so strangely cut and not like I got it for a buddy. I have my other one right here to give to a buddy. And I'm kind of actually apprehensive, not to like dog Adidas on this one, but I'm kind of apprehensive to give it to him because it does not fit great, as you can see. Yeah. So anyway, but I thought I'd wear it for at least today. I don't usually try to make a statement with my t-shirts and think about it, but I had it on. I was working out. I was about to change. I was like, no, I should leave it. All right, let's see. What are the questions that are coming in today? Jeremy Pitt says, are you excited for the season to start? And has it started yet? I think we all are excited for the season to start. We're probably about a month away from media day. It hasn't been announced, but you can kind of estimate where it's going to be. And then we're about 5 or 6 weeks away from a preseason game. I know things are warming up. I got a text from a coach today. So we're all firing up. We're getting ready. I got a text from our trainer yesterday about something. So we're all kind of beginning to warm back up, see each other, get that vibe back together and see, that's always a sign, of that what might be happening along the way. All right, let's run through. Jaden says their shirt fit. This whole thing's going to be on Spider. Like, everything's about Spider all the time. This is going to be about the shirt. Jaden says his fits honest. Well, maybe you're not fat and old like me, and then it doesn't fit so tight. The tough part of the Jazz schedule is early. Can this be advantageous, as I believe it will be? My reasoning is the minuscule change to the roster. We've got to hope that to be true. It's a great point. We have to hope that is going to be true, but it is brutal early. Somebody put a little graph the other day of the schedule difficulty. You know, the graph was like this, and difficulty was upper left, and the bottom right was ease. And sure enough, like, we are off the charts to start, and then we move. Then it gets much easier, and frankly, we have like the easiest schedule in the league on the way out of this thing. Today's show is brought to you by Murdoch Chevy. In August, they're celebrating their 93rd birthday in the state of Utah, which is incredible. They're giving you free breaks for life along with the regular guarantee. I'm heading over to Murdoch Chevy tomorrow to see the guys. They They want my Chevy Colorado back. I have the Hunter Green color that everybody wants, and so they want it back so that they can get somebody, I think, so they can sell it, frankly. And the deals they have on the Colorado right now are absolutely fabulous. It's been a great truck. I drove the Silverado earlier. Big, unbelievable comfort, amazing, just the luxury of that ride. This Chevy Colorado I have found very, very useful. I have found it very manageable. I have found it very inexpensive compared to that one. And by the way, if you buy a new Chevy truck, you get 2 free season passes to Solitude Ski Resort. I might even take a run with you if that's the case. How's that? Plus, every time you go to Murdoch, you get car washes for life, safety inspection for life, 5-day price match guarantee, and the 5-day exchange policy. That's all at Murdoch Chevy in Logan and in Woods Cross. All right, let's go to more of the questions. Let's see, where were we? Thanks for the question, guys. The Locked On Jazz Facebook group has been awesome. We're going to make it better, probably get a moderator or two, but thank you so much. You guys have been amazing. Can you do a couple of podcasts with a few of the players? We will do our sit-down interview we do every year. I have old sit-downs with Donovan and Ricky Rubio that I did last year that I thought might be worth recycling. And then I'm going to do interviews with them featured focusing on the book Culture Code this year. So I got to finish that. I just finished the book Power. It's pretty wild, pretty deep, thoughtful, gender, power, structure book, if anyone's interested in that. Ryan, oh, we just did that tough part of the schedule. Jordan, the rookie shirt looks better because it's not white and then so thin. Yeah. So you're really just guys who are telling me I should never wear this shirt ever again. Could Allen become a sixth man if not a starter? I think he could. I don't know that he'll become a starter. That's not probably in my expectations for any 20 whatever pick we were in the NBA draft to become a starter. If he makes his shots, though, he becomes a starter because he's a good enough ball handler, a good enough athlete, does a lot of other things well, rebounds well, gets 50-50 balls. So if he makes his shots, then with his handle and his passing, eventually he could become a starter. But that's unexpected for someone picked at that spot, even though I thought this was a good draft. And I thought the draft was a little inverted. I thought the bottom of the first round was better than the middle of the first round. What storylines intrigue you the most for the upcoming season? One, I think the big picture question to me is, can the defense, which was just so unbelievably dominating, I mean, really beyond, I think we knew it at the time, but you look back at it now, it's 4 or 5 points better than the rest of the league. So can the defense continue to be that great? From a Jazz standpoint, that is the number one kind of question that I have on things in regard to the Jazz. From a league standpoint, I'm wondering how much defenses change. So the last thing we all saw in the league was everybody switching everything all the time. And, you know, the best defenses in the league were all drop defenses. I talked about this on the Mid-Northwest Division podcast with Adam Ottis and Danny LaRue. So they were all drop defenses. And Portland dropped, Utah dropped, Philadelphia dropped, Boston didn't entirely, San Antonio dropped. And what I mean by drop defense is the big drops in the lane. Then we got to the playoffs and everyone switched. Houston switched, Golden State switched, Cleveland tried to switch, made a fool of themselves, Boston switched. So what will the league try to follow what was taking place with those teams? Or will it be back to the drop? And then if you're the Jazz and you feel like in the playoffs you're going to have to go to a switching defense, how much do you integrate that into your system in a shortened training camp rather than just maximizing what you already do? To me, that's the most kind of interesting storyline. I think from a Donovan standpoint, I'm pretty curious to see how he deals with failure again, because I'm sure our memory and his memory at this point is that he never did fail. And yet if you go back and kind of look at his game log, the actual opposite is true, that there were all sorts of, really tough games where he struggled and had a hard time And we just kind of rolled with him because he was a rookie. And I will be curious to see how that plays out in this upcoming year. So I think those are the main, that's a great question. Those are the main storylines that I'm looking for. Besides staying healthy, what does Dante need to do to excel this year? Well, I think defensively he's got to be excellent, like he was in the Houston series. I think from a standpoint of offensively, the ability to get on top of the rim and finish using that incredible speed he has, I think that we saw a little bit in the playoffs and some of those kind of things I think are vital. And then he's got to make some shots, right? His three-point shooting last year was 28%. The year before was 29%. His career's 31, but he's only taken 431. He only played 14 games last year. And so I think, you know, that's a major one. The one weakness is rim finishing went from 55% to 68%, which is just so good. His first year rim finishing is kind of a total misnomer. You know, it's interesting. He has no off-the-bounce shot game at all, but I'm not sure you want that. You either really want him shooting a three or getting to the rim. So the easy answer is to say he's got to start learning how to play off the bounce, but I'm not sure that's actually true. So I would go with maintain the defense. And then the other one is there's – and he got better. I mean, again, it was only 14 games. But remember 2 years ago, he really had a tendency to, like, dribble the ball and just dribble the ball and just dribble the ball and just dribble the ball and, like – you can't have that, particularly in Quinn's system. So that would be the one. The thing that's interesting to me on Dante in his 3 years, his first year, his average shot distance was 19 feet. His second season, after missing an entire year, his average shot distance was 12 feet. And last year, his average shot distance was 8 feet. So if that can stay, you know, he took 43% of his shots at 3 feet. You know, in between 0 and 3 feet, and then took another 33% between 3 and 10. He did not make those, by the way. He only shot 38%. That's a very tough place to shoot. So that would be, you know, that whole inside area, a lot of shots and being able to learn how to finish. Good questions. Great group. Wouldn't expect anything less. Kyle, I did that one. Alex, with Tabo starting the season with a suspension, do you know how he will be worked into lineup? No, it's a good question. We keep forgetting about Tabo's early suspension. And I think Jay Crowder's really good. And if Jay Crowder's playing well, then that's going to be hard for Tabo to get those minutes. I mean, that might be a tough little one for Tabo to integrate himself in early into camp. But I think he brings a different aspect and a little bit of a smaller play. But I think that if Jay can play really well and be really good defensively and make his shots, that's not always going to be the easiest minutes for Tabo to get this year, I would guess. Is Royce still the best of the third guards? Defense was great. His defense was great. You know, I'm really intrigued by Royce O'Neal for this. Will Royce O'Neal become a better player because he hung out with Donovan all year? Right? So Donovan's working out with Chris Paul and James Harden, and Royce O'Neal's there. Like, Royce O'Neal's not going to work out with Chris Paul and James Harden other than the fact that he's Donovan's best friend. So Royce O'Neal's had all these amazing experiences going, and he's a gutsy guy, and so I think it makes me wonder whether or not we might see, you know, does Royce O'Neal, and skill set obviously is going to drive that more than anything, but does Royce O'Neal become a better player in some way because of the fact that he got this exposure with Donovan Mitchell? All right, we'll get the final set of questions coming up. I want to thank Locked On Jazz and the amazing Locked On Jazz family, because you've done it again. Intercap Lending has been a sponsor for a year now. When they first started, they had 2 branches. Now they have 11. They have now 1 in Tooele, 2 in Utah County, in Ogden, the Palace they've built up in Cottonwood. Partially, it's this incredible support you've given. The other thing is their relationships. Real estate agents are sending people to Intercap. Why? Because what is a real estate agent? They want you to close. They want it to get done. Intercap Lending gets it done each and every time. It's a 40-year-old company. Josh Romney brought it to Utah. They're headquartered in Utah. And hyper-responsive. Embrace change. Great borrower experience. That's what we did. Steve Carter's your guy. You can reach him at 385-800-8528. They've set across one guy solely for the Locked On Jazz people. Make sure you tell them they're with Locked On Jazz. We've created a deal with them where they'll treat us like a corporation, so they give you the corporate discount. That's Steve Carter at 385-800-8528. Intercap Lending. Use their app. It's fabulous. It makes getting a mortgage as easy as ordering a pizza or as close as it can. They're in 44 states, so it's not Utah only. Let them take a look at your loan. They're a direct lender. In fact, they did our refi over a year ago, and they still own the loan. It's a different experience. Intercap Lending, NMLS 1904465. For more information, visit intercaplending.com. Call Steve Carter at 385-800-8528. All right, let's get to the rest of your questions. Burks and his expiring deal becomes one of the main trade pieces at the deadline, in my opinion, perhaps with a draft pick or something. Yeah, maybe. I mean, but you got to get something better than what you have. You got to get something better than Alec Burks, which might not be that easy. So much is going to change between now and then, though. From Carly Brown, I always feel slightly irritated when listening to the data part of your advertising because I'm the 2% of women, but I laughed when I started paying attention to your ring, trying to see detail and realize, yep, I'm still a girl. I love it. My ring, if you're interested, I'll share with you. Let's see, which way is it? Go. So my ring, which is a little different for a wedding ring, is a Polaris Star from my summer camp. So I went to a summer camp. It's the most meaningful place in my life. I guess this is the week I'm just going to reveal everything about myself. That Shauna Lake interview was so uncomfortable to, like, share stuff. So I went to summer camp. I was not the happiest young kid. I was miserable, socially terrible at school, and went to summer camp. Gained a lot of social confidence. When I switched schools later, I was able to take what I got in my summer camp and then kind of build off that and get everything rolling. I'm a huge believer in secondary social environments, which is what a summer camp is. And my daughter just got back from it. My son went. It's the most unselfish thing we do as parents to give up our kids for 28 days, but it's good for them. And so it changed my life. And so when I got married, this was an award I won at the summer camp. It's very important to me. It's got all sorts of things to it that sound arrogant if I told you it was about. And so I asked my wife, I didn't want another ring, but I was wearing that ring on this hand at the time. So she got that ring molded for me. And so now it represents both that period of my life, what camp represents, and my marriage. I would share this to you, very seriously, actually, here for a second. So what's unique to summer camp, at least the summer camp that my kids go to, and I think many summer camps, there's two things of value. One is the secondary social environment. If you can get your kids in a secondary social environment, particularly with how cohesive our society is, and you get in your ward and you get in your steakhouse, whatever, and you end up in the same group of people your whole life, you're labeled early as a kid, and it's pretty hard to break that. And if you can get them into another group of people, they can go try things. Our son is the most conservative, straight, quiet kid on the planet. And we see pictures of him dressed up in these crazy outfits at camp and realize, like, that's because he got labeled as that here, and that's just who he's now fit into to keep everything comfortable. But he's got this other side of his personality that comes out in that environment that's safe. So any safe secondary social environment. The other one I would say, and it took me until my kids went to camp to understand what's so fabulous, at least about the camp my kids go to, and I think most camps, is it rewards you for being nice. You know, my son gets rewarded for his grades and his ski racing. My daughter gets rewarded for her ski racing or grades or golf or basketball. You know, all those things, right? How many books she reads, how many pages she accomplishes. But how often does a kid get recognized for being nice? Just be nice. It's such a great thing. It's not something we do very well in society. It's not anything our leaders are portraying at any point in time. So it's really hard to find a place where your kids are rewarded for being nice. And to me, that's the most important thing. What was the random act of kindness that you committed today? Not how did you do on your test? How much did you practice your volleyball? What did you do nice for people today? And that's what camp builds into my kids and has built in, hopefully, somewhat into me. Probably I've worn it out after 48 years. All right. Enough of that pontificating on a soapbox. This is what you get when you do a live show, though. All right. Thank you for Carly. That's her fault. Oh, I just switched the camera. There, that's what the other side of me looks like. How'd that happen? That's a better view. This is the best view. Let's just do this. You guys can just look at the good view out of my office. There, we'll just do that. That's so much better for the show, except for I can't read any of the this is the room, by the way. My old Sonic Net. A lot of stuff. All right. Let's see. What's next? When are you going to do your pack numbers for the season? Very soon. How's that? When should I do them? When do you think the most people are really tuned into season preview? Training camp opening? Right before training camp? What's your thought? Connor Parkham, is it better to have a deep front court like we do or have a superstar on the one or two and a decent front court to back up? I always vote superstar, but we have two of them. Rudy's a superstar. Like Rudy's, I'm going with Rudy's a superstar. After watching Summer League, you have any concerns about Allen's defense? Sure was Summer League, but seemed like he wasn't moving his feet well in some situations. I didn't notice that, but I do know he had a groin issue going on during Summer League, so that could have been part of it. Who sees more minutes at the four, Jay or Tabo? It's a good question. My instinct is Jay, but I don't know why I'm saying that. But my thought is Jay. Neither of them are really great shooters. That's the only... I was looking at this the other day. I actually did a little compare, player comparison for their career on Jay, and I'll pull it. I actually have it saved, so let me hit a few buttons and pull that up because I thought it was kind of interesting. So I thought this was interesting. Let me get it right. So Tabo's in is 33 and in his 12th season. Jay in his 6th. They've played a different amount of games. But their career shooting is the exact same from 3. Jay shoots more, but he's a 34% shooter and Tabo's a 34.7% shooter. Tabo's a little bit better overall. Jay's a better free throw shooter. The rebounding, which my instinct is that Jay is a way better rebounder, and the defensive rebounding percentage, Tabo's better than Jay. Not a lot, 15% to 14% rebounding percentage. Overall rebounding percentage, Tabo's at 9.6, Jay's at 8.7. Both pass almost the same. Their assist rate's 9.4 to 8.6 for their career. Tabo's a very high steals guy, so I would have thought he was way higher. Per 100 possessions, they're about the exact same, 2.5 and 2.1. Tabo actually blocks more shots. Tabo turns it over much more. Jay shoots way more. This is interesting. Like, it's not totally what I thought it would be. Win shares per 48 minutes are pretty similar. Jay's win shares in his career are the same offensively and defensively. Tabo's are almost all defensively. So I was a little surprised. The interesting one, Jay shoots 48% of his shots as three-point shots. Tabo only shoots 33% of his shots as three-point shots. So Tabo, by being a 13-year career, was at the stage early in his career where he was the guy who says basically, you know, hey, you're not a good enough shooter, don't shoot the three. Jay's in the generation of, I don't care if you're that good a shooter, shoot the three. And that's the biggest difference between their two careers. And so for that reason, the field goal percentage, true shooting percentage of Jay's a little higher, but they're very, very similar. And they're not the same in the way that I thought they would. So I thought that was interesting. Do players get concerned about how egalitarian offense affects their individual numbers? The glaring example to me is Rubio's assist numbers, which will never be 10 per game. Yeah, I do think they do a little bit. In this case, I don't think it's a big issue, but I do think they think of that a little bit. Do you think we could move to a small lineup with Joe as the stretch four, play X at the three, and when he can... Yeah, I think, yes. And then you play Grayson and Donovan, or Rubio and Donovan. Yeah, I think there's all sorts of things. Have you ever done a pack team average on championship teams? I've not done a team average. There is a similar stretch that they have almost no negative players, though. How many minutes for Grace in the season? I would guess 15, maybe more. Sometimes I worry that Quinn pushes himself too hard. Do you ever have concerns about his health and how intense he is? Sure. I think it's legit. I just think that's who he is. I just think that's the speed he goes and he works, and he'd be uncomfortable if he does it otherwise. And I can only say this. Everyone always tells me, hopefully Quinn will laugh at this if he ever hears this. Everyone always tells me that spending time with me is exhausting. I've never understood that comment. I mean, I understand my brain works pretty quickly. And then I started going to dinner with Quinn, and I understood what it was because I was suddenly exhausted after having dinner with Quinn because of his intellectual power and how much you're trying to stay on it. I don't think I'm exhausting for that reason, but I think anyway. But it, I don't like, you could say, so, okay. So what I'm trying to say is that like Quinn's running at a 1,000,000 mile an hour and I'm running at 500,000 miles an hour, right? Whatever. I'm half of it and I have half the brain power, but I don't sit still either. You could say the same thing about me building the whole podcast network and working the entire season, you know. Sorry, I just got a text that I'll close the show with. It'll make you laugh. It's terrifying. But so my point is that I don't sit still either, so I kind of relate to that, and I just don't think that's who he is. So, yeah, I do think he drives himself really hard, and he looks tired, and he doesn't sleep, and but he's brilliant. All right, here, I'm going to end the show with this. So I just got a text from my 13-year-old daughter. My brother and I just drove to Office Max to get school supplies, and now we're driving to go have lunch at Ginya. I like my new chauffeur. My son just got his driver's license. He's now driving my daughter. My two most prized possessions are in a car together. Ah! This is Locked On Jazz. Have a great day. Talk to you soon.